precious name of our lovely Messiah, Savior, Master, Lord, one who is destined to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. And I will begin by making an acknowledgement. I gave serious consideration to making copies of my sermon outline because we're dealing with something that seemingly we don't hear much about in our churches, and I don't understand why. And our people have a tendency to read over this account and really be far off from what the Bible really teaches. And so I said, I'm going to make copies of our outline and hand them out. And I started to do that, and I got to number 14, and the printer said out of ink. So I thought, okay, I'll take care of it at our office. I went to the office, and lo and behold, the printer said out of ink. So I did bring the full, and I thought, well, how do I distribute 14 copies when they said I should bring 70? So I brought the 14 copies, and I left them back on the table. So those of you who want this sermon outline can get it after the service. This is one evening when it's good if you're sitting in the back benches. And if you really want this outline and you don't get it tonight, maybe you can ask somebody who got it to be so kind as to make a copy of it for you. Our text is Ezekiel 37 and verse 3. And I'd like to read the first three verses. First of all, as an opening, the hand of the Lord was upon me, that is Ezekiel, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And we'll stop reading there for now. Now, Ezekiel, if you have read through the book of Ezekiel, you will discover that he was a prophet, and quite often he had visions. And the angel took him various, the servant of God took him various places in his visions. I believe in chapter 8, one of the God's messengers took him by the hair on his head. Obviously, he wasn't bald. And lifted him up and took him to a place at the door of Jerusalem and then showed him a message. We have a similar account here in this chapter where a messenger of God took him to an open valley. And as he gazed upon this open valley, he saw it was full of bones. The bones were scattered in an open valley, and they were very dry. They had died a long time, and there they were, lying in an open valley. I think it's very important that we understand right off the bat this evening identifying who these bones are. Because if we don't get that straight, we'll meander around all evening and hard telling where we'll go and where we'll come out. But we let the Bible interpret itself. That is so important, brethren and sisters, that we rightly divide the word of truth. And don't ever say the Bible doesn't mean what it says. But to rightly divide the word of truth, who are these bones representing? Verse 11, let the Bible tell us the answer. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of, you say it, Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our part, for our parts. Thank you for that devotional meditation. One of those verses there in Psalm talked about this very thing. Israel being way, way far from spiritual life. So the Bible says this is valley of dry bones that are scattered in the open valley is the whole house of Israel. You remember Jesus, before he was crucified, he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. But before he wept, he gave a message, a clear message to the leaders of Israel. Oh, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! Oh, generation of snakes! I think there's about 7 or 8 woes that Jesus mentions and gives towards the leaders of the nation of Israel in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And then he sums it up by weeping over the city, and he says, your house is left unto you desolate, and you won't see me anymore until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That word desolate, according to Strong's Concordance, means uninhabited. Your nation, your land is going to be left uninhabited, and you won't have the blessing of God upon it until you say, blessed is he that cometh. It also means desolate, uninhabited, uncultivated, deserted. The whole house of Israel, deserted, uninhabited, desolate, uncultivated. So that brings us to the second point of our message this morning, the deadness of these bones. Verse 2 says, they were very dry. The prophet Hosea said that the nation of Israel will be without a king and without a spiritual blessing for 2 days. And the New Testament tells us that 1 day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So we can look back. This is mainly a message of history tonight. Mainly a message of history. We can look back and see the desolation of the nation of Israel, the whole house of Israel. They were very dry. Let me tell you a few things that have happened to the nation of Israel since Jesus wept over the city and said, your house is left unto you desolate, and you won't see me anymore until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Incidentally, the prophet Hosea also says, you're going to be without a king and without a spiritual blessing for 2 days, 2,000 years, and in the third day, we will live in his sight. And we'll touch on that at the end of the message this evening. The third day, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when Israel is restored to the spiritual and given spiritual life. 70 AD, Roman army led by Titus, who intriguingly was a Syrian. If you've been like me and taught that the Antichrist is coming from Rome, I just became aware recently that Titus was a soldier in the high ranks in Roman army, but he himself was actually a Syrian. He destroyed the temple and slaughtered 1.1 million Jewish people. 1.1 million Jewish people killed in that warfare. What remained of the family of Israel was scattered to the four winds of the earth. You realize that? 1.1 million killed in Jerusalem and Israel, and the rest of the Jews, for their own life's sake, were scattered into the four winds of the earth. And then the Romans spread salt on the land and made the land barren, uninhabited, uncultivated, just what Jesus said would happen to their house and to their land. Romans spread salt on the land, making it barren. Letter E, now that you're getting, somebody must have made some copies. God bless you for doing that, whoever it was. Letter E, Romans changed the name of Jerusalem to Alio Capitolino, which One of the meanings of that word, it means no more Israel. Elio Capitolino, no more Israel. You see the deadness of the nation of Israel? Are you beginning to understand what this is all about? Dry bones, dead for a long time. And we're only the beginning. We're still at the first century since Christ came. The house of Israel became buried in the cemetery of the nations. Do we understand that? No more Israel. No more Jerusalem. No more. Dead. Die. Gone. Gone the way of history. Gone. And Ezekiel was asked by this angelic being, can these bones live? Is there a possibility for these bones to come back together again and live? That's the content of our message tonight. Fast forward to 1867. A brother called me and gave me this assignment, and I said, can I preach for 2 hours? He said, no, you can't do that. He didn't say it quite like that, but that's the message I got. And so we're going to have to move through this very, very rapidly and just touch on some of the highlights. Fast forward to 1897. Mark Twain had the privilege of visiting what was called Palestine at that particular time. And history records of Mark Twain's testimony of the Holy Land. Here's what he said. Of all the lands that are for dismal scenery, I think Palestine must be the prince. Renowned Jerusalem itself, the stateliest name in history, has lost all its ancient grandeur and has become a pauper village. The riches of Solomon are no longer there to compel the admiration of visiting Oriental queens. The wonderful temple, which was the pride and the glory of Israel, is gone. Palestine is desolate and unlovely. And why should it be otherwise? Palestine is no more of this workday world. Did you catch that? It's not in existence, no longer there. It's gone. Died. The Jewish people scattered across the world. Quoting again, it is sacred to poetry and tradition. It is a dreamland. Mark Twain also said that he left Jerusalem and walked for 2 days and didn't meet a soul and hardly seen a tree. And then he said, if this is the promised land, I'm so glad it's not promised to me. Desolate, uninhabited, deserted, just like Jesus said it would happen. Letter H, common knowledge of Israel in Europe. During the 20th century, I think, I failed to write that date in there, but I think it's the 20th century, was Das Geburtsgebiet, which simply means the land that died. Ezekiel, the prophet, was given the privilege to look down the corridor of time and see the nation of Israel in its dead state. In an open valley with the dead bones that were dead a long time scattered across the world. And he was asked the question, can these bones live? And he said to that angelic being, thou knowest, thou knowest. And then the angel told him, I want you to prophesy 3 different times on these dead, dry bones. 3 different prophecies which show to us that we're going to be looking at 3 different times in history where God had a special message for his chosen people and for his particular nation, the nation of Israel. Verses 4 through 8 of Ezekiel 37 is the first prophecy. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. First prophecy, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How many of you are familiar with Revelation chapter 12, where it says the serpent stood before Israel, waiting for the special man-child, Messiah, to be born for to destroy that baby as soon as it was born? Do you realize there's a spiritual warfare raging with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel that has been going on for years and generations of time? Even before Jesus was born, Haman, the list goes on and on about people who tried to destroy the Jewish people. The devil was behind all of that because he knew that Jesus was going to come through the Jewish line and from the nation of Israel. And so he did all he could to destroy them. Even back in Egypt, in Pharaoh's time, all the baby boys were killed. Remember that? He was behind all of that. And after Jesus did come, you know that within 2 years of his birth, the devil moved into the King Herod's heart to destroy all the baby boys, right? Who was behind that? The serpent. And then you read the last half of the book of the chapter of Revelation chapter 12, and you will discover that even after Jesus' death and resurrection, the devil has not given up on trying to destroy Israel. Because he knows that God has a specific plan for that nation. My grandfather grew up in Weaverland Conference. No bad reflection. There's a lot of good people there. But I remember one Sunday night visiting him while I was waiting for the special girl in my life to get old enough to date. And visiting with him one night, I can still see him sitting on the sofa and rubbing his chin. He said, "You know, Alvin, our preachers in our churches don't say one word about the nation of Israel. But when I read my Bible, I can't help but believe that God still has a plan for that nation of Israel." Bless his heart. He was exactly right. So where are we at? The first prophecy. Oh, ye dry bones. In spite of the devil's program and plan to completely annihilate the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, God gave Ezekiel a word from the Lord. And this just inspires me. Thank you for the privilege of preaching on this. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. So clear, fulfilled prophecy, some of it in my short lifetime. And I don't know, do we have anybody 90 years old here tonight? Maybe not quite. All right. I will give you breath, and ye shall live. Letter C, God said through Ezekiel, I will lay sinews upon you, flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Letter D, so Ezekiel prophesied, and the bones came together. The word of the Lord will always come to pass. God has the last word, friends, in every given thing in history and in prophecy. God has the last word, and he had a plan that the nation of Israel, buried in the nations of the cemetery of the nations of the world, would one day come back into existence. So Ezekiel prophesied, and there was a noise, a worldwide noise. And then that prophecy stayed in the background for years and years and years and years. And in August 29 through 31st, 1897, Theodor Herzl, who was a Jewish newspaper man, was instrumental in making a worldwide noise about the nation of Israel. 1897. He gathered together 208 world-renowned people from many different nations. Renowned leaders gathered in Basel, Switzerland. He chaired the meeting, Theodor Herzl did, and when he stood up to open the meeting on the first day, he said these words, read your history, "There is a people without a land, and there is a land without a people. We're gathered together today to talk about placing the people without a land in the land without a people." Are you with me? You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the Jewish people who were buried in the nations of the world, longing for a homeland. Our brother read about that in the devotions this evening. The children of Israel longing for a homeland. Well, there was lots of discussion at that, what has come to be known as the first Zionist Congress. The Pope was there. Pope Leo was the eighth was there, and he strongly opposed allowing the Jewish people to come back to their homeland. You understand why? The Roman Church had been influenced by Augustine in years gone by, who reconstructed theology and said that God is finished with the Jews and their homeland. God is finished with the nation of Israel. The church has now become heir of all the promises and all the blessings that God had for Israel. So impermeated, that doctrine, reconstructed theology, was so impermeated through Christianity, and especially Roman Catholicism, where it originated, that the Pope said these words, "There is absolutely no way we can allow the Jews to return to Palestine. It doesn't fit with the Bible." Oh, how wrong he was. The word of the Lord supersedes the word of the Pope. It really does. Did you know that in that first Zionist Congress, because of the opposition of the Pope and a few other world leaders, remember, the devil behind the scenes was still calling the shots. No way can we allow the Jews to go back to Palestine and rename that land the nation of Israel. Uganda was considered a homeland for the Jews. New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, was considered to give it to the Jews. Let New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, become a homeland for the wayfaring, wandering, scattered Jews from around the world. Theodor Herzl closed the meeting by saying, "Maybe in 5 years, or maybe in 50 years, the people without a land can claim the land without a people." And he was wrong by 1 year. 51 years later. Oh, we got to look at this verse. There was a noise in the world that we talked about that. And then there was a shaking. And intriguingly, if you look up that word shaking, it means a quivering dart. There'll be a noise in the world, and then there'll be a quivering dart as these bones come together and come back and stand on their feet and yet no life in them. May the 14th. I'm sorry, that should be May the 14th, not Matthew. May the 14th, 1948, David Ben-Gurion stood up in the land of Israel and said, "I now declare into existence the nation of Israel." And within 24 hours, the surrounding Arab countries began throwing their darts. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Yes, and they said beforehand that if you declare yourself a nation, we will drive you into the Mediterranean Sea within just a few days. You understand this? 620,000 of the house of Israel facing 80 million Arab enemies who were intent on not allowing the Jewish people to come back to their homeland. Who was behind all of that? You see the struggle between God and Satan. But God can use the minority. He doesn't need the big numbers. No life in the first prophecy. They stood upon their feet, but there was no life in them. In 1948, Israel had no government, no treasury, no military. As far as the nation is concerned, they were dead. And if you study history, President Truman, very shortly after Ben-Gurion's declaration, President Harry Truman came across United States radio saying that we now recognize the reborn state of Israel. And he did that against all his counselors in Washington, D.C. He did not take their advice. In the providential hand of God, he had before he was president, he had a Jewish partner in a men's clothing business. And just before May 14, 1948, that Jewish ex-partner in business flew to Washington, D.C. and had asked for a meeting with President Harry Truman. He said, "Won't you give my people a chance?" And I don't know if you realize it, but we have been recipients in the United States of America by God's blessing over the years ever since, that the United States gave recognition to what God says in the book. Been recipients of God's blessing. No life in them, no government, no treasury, no military. Well, we have the second prophecy in verses 9 through 11. And it reads like this: "Then said he unto me, prophesy." He already did it, and some things came to pass, and now he says, "Prophesy again. Unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds of O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he was commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts." Second prophecy, a door of opportunity was opened, according to verse 9, for Jewish people who had been scattered into the four winds of the nations of the world to make their way to their home. Verse 9. Door of opportunity for the Jews to come out of the cemetery of the nations. And life came to them, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God told Abraham that his descendants in Isaac would be instrumental in blessing the nations of the world. And I know we right away think, well, that's speaking about Jesus coming through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'd like to remind us this evening that you go into your homes and look in your medicine cabinets, and most of those medicines have been invented in Israel. Y'all use cell phones. Voicemail, all been invented by the Jewish people. God has blessed them with knowledge tremendously like no other nation on earth. And we don't have time to go into many of the inventions that we're enjoying in our homes and in our travels, GPS and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have all been invented by the Jewish people since they are in their homeland. They rose upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Do you know anything about the Israeli army today? time and time again, the nations of the world discover you better not mess with them. Just in the last year that was discovered again, you better not mess with them. They're the only army in the world that has taken out nuclear facilities in Arab countries, and that they did 2 times. Gonna rise, not spiritual, no spiritual life yet, but physical life, government, and an exceeding great army. Third prophecy, verses 12 through 14. And this is a prophecy that is still prophetic. It hasn't happened yet. Let's read it, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, the third prophecy, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And we'll stop reading there for now. Third prophecy, and that is still a prophecy, like I said. It hasn't happened yet. Verse 12, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Ezekiel 39, the Bible says, please don't take my word for whatever I say tonight. Read your Bibles. That's authoritative. What I say is just comes from man's heart and mind. But what the Bible says, Ezekiel 39 says, there's a time coming when no Jews will be left in the nations where they have been scattered to. There's still a lot of Jews living in the United States of America. Not so many in Arab countries. And in Russia, not so many anymore. But there's quite a few here in the United States of America. But the Bible says there's a time coming when there'll be no Jews left in the nations of the world where I have scattered them into. Read it for yourself. Ezekiel 39. Letter B. Already today, Jews have immigrated to Israel from over 100 nations, speaking 80 different languages. And that could be a message in itself. There's never, ever been in history a nation that died, and along with that nation dying, their language died and was resurrected. But David Ben-Gurion was a very dogmatic and stubborn man. I say that respectfully. And he declared as the first ruler of the reborn state of Israel that we must speak the ancient Jewish Hebrew language. Interesting, isn't it? And they came from 80 different languages already. Verse 13, ye shall know that I am the Lord when I do this. I think it's important that we as Christians, Bible-believing, Bible-obeying Christians, understand this is the work of God. That when you see this happening, sit back and say, you know what? God is doing this. God is over the devil's plan. The devil's not going to have the last word in this. The word of the Lord that came unto Ezekiel, can these bones live? Thou knowest, and we see that happening before our eyes, do we not? Ye shall know that I am the Lord when I do this. Verse 14, I will put my spirit within you. We ought to read Ezekiel 36, where the Jewish people in their own homeland are baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's their spiritual rebirth. Hasn't happened yet. They're gathered together in unbelief, but it's going to happen according to the Word of God. Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced and will repent. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Israel will be restored as Jehovah's bride. Hosea chapter 2. Israel will become like the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel 36, 35. I put these references there for you to have go home and study for yourself and see what the word of the Lord says about this subject. Israel will become the breadbasket of the world, Isaiah 27, verse 6. 10 men will from 10 different languages, get this now, 10 men from 10 different languages will take hold of the skirt of a Jew. You know that tzitzit that they wear on the four corners of their garment? The tassel? Remember that woman that reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that tassel on the corner of his garment? 10 men are going to take hold of a tassel of a Jew that's wearing a prayer shawl and say, we want to follow you because we have come to understand that God is with you. That's what the Bible says. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen according to the word of the Lord. We want to go with you because God is with you. Zechariah 8, verse 23. Israel's borders will be greatly expanded. Joel 2, 15 through 24. Jerusalem will become the capital of the world. Isaiah 68 through 12. No more Elio Capitolino. The devil's plan. No more of that. Jerusalem will become the capital city of the world. And then we have Romans 11, verse 26. And so all Israel shall become saved. Now, understand, before all of this takes place, the third prophecy, the Bible teaches that Israel must go through a time of Jacob's trouble. Another name for that time of Jacob's trouble is the Great Tribulation, wherein 2/3 of the Jews that return to their homeland will be slain, according to the Bible. In fact, Revelation 7, I believe, tells us that 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, will be preserved miraculously by God himself. God will feed them while they're in hiding during the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 7. 1/3 of them will come through the fire and will become missionaries to whoever's left after the Great Tribulation, after so many people die that the Bible says human life will become more precious than gold after the days of the Great Tribulation period. Jacob's trouble. But God isn't finished with the nation of Israel. May we rest in letting God do his work. And when he does, say, blessed be God. He is sovereign. He is over our enemies' desires. And our enemies' desires will not prosper. Behold the word of the Lord. So much for the first message. Are you ready for the second one? You know, us ministers have been charged to do the work of an evangelist, and I'd just like to make a spiritual application here at the end of this message. Paul said it like this: I was alive without the law once, and then sin came in my life, and I died. Speaking of children coming to the age of accountability, children in childhood innocency is so sweet, so sweet, so precious. But when the Holy Spirit begins to work on those souls with convicting them, you told a lie. You know, if Jesus comes, you're not ready to meet him. And we begin to have those sensations and realization that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm not ready to meet God. I'm no longer innocent before him. We're a little like those bones that have been dry and dead. But there's hope, friends. There's hope, dear children. Salvation, full salvation free, is available for us when we come to the realization that we're dead in trespasses and sins. But God had sent his own Son to wash away and pay the redemption price for our iniquity. And we can be brought back to life again. And sometimes, even after we've accepted the Lord and experienced the new birth, we fall in desperation and sin. The Bible says if we commit fornication or adultery, we can't make it to heaven. We're lost. We're dead. We're guilty. We're defiled. But just similar to the way God is working with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, he is able to bring lost people back to life. Are you with me tonight? Are you alive in Jesus Christ? Looking forward to the sounding of the trumpet and saying from the bottom of my heart, even so, come Lord Jesus. I can hardly wait to be delivered from this flesh. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we bow in reverence and humility before your lofty and high and holy name. Oh God, I just thank you for the precious, holy word of God. I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are far, far greater than the enemy of our soul. And even though the devil had a plan to destroy the nation of Israel and is still trying to do so today, I thank you, Lord, that you have the last word. I thank you that you have the last word concerning the souls of us Gentiles as well. And I pray if there's anyone in this audience tonight who is dead in trespasses and sins, that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow themselves to surrender to that voice and find new life, new joy, new beginnings in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would bless this congregation, bless the children, the youth. Thank you for their interest in Bible teaching. Bless the parents, the grandparents, your servants who stand behind this pulpit and declare the word of God. Bless them with wisdom. The spirit of knowledge and the spirit of discernment. Bless them with encouragement along life's journey. Help us, O God, to be prepared for the sounding of the trumpet, because it will happen before that last third prophecy will be fulfilled completely. We pray it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.